Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Baby Steps, everybody. We have Rachel Cole, our amazing producer, here with us today. She has two toddlers, two girl toddlers. We're talking about toddlers today because Rachel has questions. We actually haven't talked that much about our toddler because our little angel baby. I mean, both of our kids are angels.
Yeah, all kids, I was a little confused which one you were talking about.
Right. All kids are good kids. But toddlers can be a lot. We have a three-nager. You have two terrible twos.
When do you start calling them toddlers? What age are you like, oh, you're no longer my baby?
I think it's when they're toddling around.
Yeah,
for me, it's
walking.
About the walking.
Yeah.
It's the walking for me.
It's the mobility.
I think it's definitely when they start walking because then they're just getting into stuff, right?
Your kids are toddlers.
My kids are toddlers. I am forever impressed that when we go to your house, all your cabinets and drawers are not locked. Everything in my house is locked. You need a little magnetic key to open anything.
Well,
but you.
I mean, a lot of them are locked.
Are they?
The drawers are not locked, but
the drawers in your kitchen are not locked.
They have locks on them.
You just don't use them.
Usually what I do.
There was a time where everything was locked down. And then over time, you kind of, I don't know, it became less of a thing that we were worried about.
I think the reason that a lot of the drawers in the kitchen aren't locked is because I live with a man who gets really frustrated when he can't open things.
Yeah, it's me, Rachel.
It was actually worse.
I open it, I go, ah! And then I take it, I unlock it with the little metallic thing, and then I flip the switch on the inside that disables it.
Never again.
And we observe. Does anything bad happen? No? Okay, then let's not have Fort Knox on my plates.
That's actually what happened. Right. They were locked for a period of time.
I got frustrated.
I feel like, you know, I feel like Watts is kind of a different human when it comes to that sort of thing.
He'll probably carry the magnet on his belt.
He's like got the magnet with him and he's like, just knowing, but and he doesn't, you know, disrupt the entire household when he can't unlock it himself. Why is it locked?
I know.
But yeah, we have like three bookshelf cabinets that are locked, and that keeps most of the, you know, that's like the barware. And a lot of, I mean, one of them is unlocked now because it's just kids' toys, but it had a bunch of like games and stuff in it with small pieces. And we had our electronics cabinet locked. Still is locked. That one's still locked.
Okay.
But a lot of those cabinets also have sort of been taken over by baby things.
All right.
But what we also did was if Wes was starting to get into one of those drawers and he was like pulling it open and like fussing with the stuff like the Tupperware drawer, which is the bottom drawer, then we would just flip the switch and close it. And then he would get really frustrated because he was like, this was open.
So he was like a little gambler and you were setting it up so he would lose.
Well,
after he won a little, he would lose. And then he would stop playing the game.
The house always wins.
And then, he would lose and then he would stop playing the game. And that's sort of what we hoped
for. You know, I think we're going to have to just rewind that clock once Finn starts toddling around because.
Well, all the locks are still on there.
We're going to have to just baby proof it again.
We like those magnetic locks that you can't see.
You can't see them. The girls take the little keys and they know to put them on the thing, but they're not quite like deft enough to unlock it and open it at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wes does the same thing. He listens for the click. He listens for the click of the of the magnet. And then he like will remove the magnet and pull. And it's like, ha ha, got you again.
Foiled.
Trick.
Well, guys, toddlers are just a different beast than
babies.
They
really, really are.
And there's so many milestones coming up for the girls that we have not gotten to quite yet.
Yeah.
Like potty training and big kid beds. Flipping the car seats around.
Really?
Going to preschool. Yeah, no, I have, I don't know if you know this, Ned. I have shrimps for children. No,
they're tiny.
They're very tiny. They're like the size of 1-year-old. So I'm not turning the car seats around yet.
Now we as elder toddler parents, elder millennials,
we have gone through all of these milestones.
Tell you what we did.
Well, which one would you like to start with? Do you want to start with car seats?
Let's start with car seats because I feel like that's easy. People say your kids turn two and you flip those car seats around so that they can see you easier. Mm-hmm. You can see them. Mm-hmm. And then maybe it's easier to reach back and entertain
Isn't
them.
Isn't it like a weight thing though?
It is a weight thing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Is usually kids hit that weight limit around when they're two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's a Benjamin Button baby and they're like 15 and still under the weight limit.
Keep them in
I
the back
I think they're
car
supposed
seats.
To be rear facing still.
But we flipped Wes around as soon as we could because he would get so frustrated back there
because he couldn't see us.
Yes,
June's back there going, June, see mommy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we flipped it, that would be a lot easier.
It
but
was a
you're
game
supposed
changer.
To wait.
You're supposed to wait. You're supposed to wait till the weight
and
limit.
Why do you wait?
But you can. Well, because it's safer. Okay. I mean, the car seats are designed to be safer when they're turned around so that facing the back, you know, because just like with the crash test and all that kind of stuff, like the car seat protects them. But, you know, the car seats, they work great when they're flipped around as well, especially, you know, they're designed for that weight limit. And so check the weight limit on the car seat, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we flipped Wes around as soon as we could. And it was a game changer for us because he could like see what we were looking at while we were driving. We could turn around and like hand him stuff. You didn't have to be sitting in the back with him, especially when it was just one of us driving and and like not one person in the back entertaining him.
Mm-hmm. Right, because there's probably a period of time where weight-wise, they could fit in either the rear-facing seat or the front-facing seat. So then what do? Do you keep them in it because it's safer? Or do you flip it around because it's, you know,
easier?
Yeah.
And that's a question that you have to kind of ask yourself, you know?
Yeah. Do you plan on getting rear-ended or crashing into a pole?
No.
Or a crash from the side.
That is not the question, Ned.
I'm joking.
Yeah, you can't joke about those things.
Sorry. Roll cage?
No, Ned. Jackknife?
No, it's we flipped Wes around as soon as we could because I actually felt that it was safer for me driving. Like I felt safer driving with
when
him
you were
turned around.
Back.
Yeah, because I was constantly reaching back to like, you know, deal with something with him and not being able to see him. I felt like I was driving dangerously.
Okay, as elder millennials, how often have you pulled a muscle in your shoulder or neck doing that reach back?
Oh my God.
Because I have two children to get to. And if I'm driving by myself, I come out of it and I'm like, oh my God, I think I tweaked something.
Neck pain is just like a given. You know, when you're driving with kids in car seats, like when
it's
we
like
were
just when you think you're done with the like infant arm shoulder cradle, then you get into the kind of reach back car seat twist. You know, really, we should just be doing like back calisthenics.
I mean, we drove to Nevada recently to visit my grandmother for her 80th birthday, and I swear for like 2 hours of that car trip when Wes was or when Finn wasn't sleeping, I was reaching back with a shaky toy, just shaking something in front of his face, you know,
like a cat.
Yeah, like you're just trying to entertain them back there. You're just like shake, reaching back. Oh my God. Yeah, I had like a kink in my neck for days after that. But yeah, I mean,
okay,
it's once they get to the point where they're like begging to be turned around in their car seat, you know, I feel like when they have the vocabulary to be like, turn my frickin' car seat around so that I can sit like you, you know, that then that's the time to do it.
But, okay.
You know, all keep right. it as long as you can.
As long as you can. As long as they're innocent little cherubs who don't know better yet.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Next up on my bucket list is the biggest one. Potty training.
Oh, potty training. One.
We've gotten to a place in our lives where Poppy especially, but both girls insist on putting on their own diapers. They take them off themselves and then they can put them on themselves.
Oh, wow.
We're talking pees only, no poops, obviously.
Are you using pull-ups?
No. They lay it out on the ground. They sit their tushy right where it goes and pull it up. And then I do the straps on the side.
That's hilarious.
And my husband is like, well, that means if they're capable of doing that, they're capable of potty training.
It's but true.
We've pulled out the little potties and ain't nobody interested.
We did the same thing. We put out the potty.
There's a lot of different things that we learned. First of all, if you wait too long, it does get a lot harder. So part of it is just this idea. You're just ripping off a Band-Aid. You're just going to do it. And it's going to be tough, but then it's going to be done. And then it's going to be great. It's going to start to get harder and harder and harder.
I love the diapers.
More... I know. Diapers
They're
so are so easy.
But you know what?
I don't have to think about it.
Rachel, this morning when we woke up, we were still in bed. Wes gets up out of bed, pulls off his pants, pulls off his diaper, makes a poop by himself. And That's then the true. First thing I hear as a slumbering parent is, Dad, I'm done.
It's true.
It's better than diapers.
Trust me. The proudest moment of my life is hearing that child sitting on his potty going, wipe my bottom. You know?
Hasn't learned how to wipe himself yet. I mean, maybe we could work
on
that.
Will accept it. I am so proud of that kid for getting out of his own bed, pulling off his own pull-up, and taking a big old dump on his little potty. Like, good for him.
You know, he requests privacy.
He does.
I need some privacy.
Yeah. The girls also do that in their diapers. They say one more minute and then they go into the closet and like shut the door.
They're ready.
They're definitely ready. What you want to avoid by waiting too long is if they get to like a consciousness about pooping in their diapers.
Oh, they've been caught. This one more has been going on for a long time.
Right. Okay. So it is what it is.
Let's go through our book list for this. What's one of the books that we read? We read Oh Crap Potty Training.
Yeah, that's I'm not going to be title. Able to summon this from my head off the top so one off the
of
dome
one
here.
Of the one of the books that we read was called Oh Crap Potty Training,
and you liked it.
I liked it.
The methodology.
So the methodology was, and then we also read Potty Training in 3 Days.
Potty Training in 3 Days.
That sounds intense. That sounds like Ferber method for.
It's it really
it's not just well, just do it.
Let
Rachel.
Me just say
this one
didn't
is great.
It took far longer than 3 days.
Okay.
But it taught us how to get your toddler's head wrapped around the idea of potty training.
Right.
You know? And so basically what both of these books said was that there is kind of there's a perfect window of potty training, which, okay, fair enough. Like they've done the research to figure out what the perfect window was. And I think what they said the perfect window was, and please fact check me, Ned.
Yeah.
Will you look it up right now? It's
after two.
After
they're two.
It's between.
But before they're three.
It's between like.
Okay. Definitely before they're
between
three.
Between two and three.
All right. I'm feeling better. I was feeling like I was too late, but we are in that window. Well, we're post two, pre three.
One of the books had like a specific month time, but that actually made me feel stressed out. It made me feel stressful. Like if I didn't get it within that month time that my child would never be potty trained.
And there's also
there's stuff
where some parents will do the kind of like, even at 6 months, have them like make a pee over the toilet or something. That's a little bit
different.
Elimination communication.
Yeah.
And I know several people that have tried or that do elimination communication. We did not do that. So we're not going to talk about it on the podcast because I don't really know how it works. I don't understand it.
Yeah. I know one person who did it. It was highly successful, but they
also. Oh, really? For them?
Yeah. They started at like 2 months old.
Yeah.
I can't add that to my plate.
No, I can't. Well, I can't watch.
You've already not done it.
Yes. So I know. Back in time. No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Sure.
But
we were busy enough.
I know that some of the ideas behind elimination communication is that, you know, like they gain this awareness of going to the bathroom and like what it means. And, But you have to constantly watch them like a hawk so that they aren't going to the bathroom.
Yeah, you have to read their bathroom cues the same way you read their hunger and sleep cues, mm-hmm. where you're watching them move in their body. You know they're about to poop or pee and get them over to a toilet.
But that is so much stress on you as a parent. Yeah. And but I will say that potty training is that. And so basically mm-hmm. what we did and what it is recommended to do is to, like, you know, watch your kid mm-hmm. and ask them when they need to go to the bathroom. So you introduce the potty, right? Mm-hmm. And you can so there's what the book said, and then there's what our doctor said too. Our doctor said to do something like that was a lot less intense mm-hmm. than what this book said. These books, you know, mm-hmm. so there's Oh Crap Potty Training, then there's the 3-day method. And so we decided to do kind of a hybrid method, like we do with everything. Yeah. You know, sleep training, we did a hybrid method. Like feeding, we did a hybrid method. You know, that,
I love that's, it. Everything that's just in the moderation. Way that
we get, like, we know what the what the intense version is, uh-huh. and we know what the not intense version is, and then we come up with our own idea. Yeah. Exactly. And so just so that our listeners know, we are going to talk about feeding in one of our next episodes. And so we will talk about our hybrid feeding method, you know, baby-led weaning versus, mm-hmm. you know, all the different things. But we're talking about potty training right now. And what we did is, so in the 3-day method, what they recommend is you just remove diapers. You just have a naked child or children in your case.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's, you just
I
have,
remember that.
You just have...
I remember coming over when and we your did child that. Was naked.
Yeah. And you make an event out of it. Yeah. Right? So okay. you have a period of time where you're getting the baby's acclimated with the potty. It's there. Maybe mm-hmm. you can... do it together, maybe not, but you kind of you talk about it in the week leading up to it, like, okay, we're going to be going no diapers okay. this weekend, and you make getting underwear exciting, right?
Yeah, okay. So the you first want thing you do exciting.
Is you very like visually like say, okay, now we're going to throw away all the diapers, and so the kid knows that diapers are no more. This is like your. This is a big step, and this is a very exciting thing because you get to wear underwear,
yeah.
right? So you like wow. maybe give them a gift of some new underwear. Uh-huh. You make a show of this is, you know, we're taking away the diapers, and then uh-huh. you watch. You like set a weekend for it. Maybe it's a 3-day weekend, but like you are going to be focused on uh-huh. potty training, and that's all you're going to be doing this weekend because you have to watch them.
And you
like
can't
a hawk.
Leave the house because they are naked.
Yep.
They like you basically, so in the, both potty training methods from these books that we, mm-hmm. That we read and, you know, like advice from our doctor was you basically go no pants mm-hmm. until your child grasps the concept of going to the bathroom on the potty when they need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's the normally kind of refrain pee. Is like, let me know when you have to go potty.
Let me know when you have to
you
go potty.
Apply them with lots of water, mm-hmm. right?
So that they so have that they to have pee to go a lot, you know, a lot.
And then you just watch them. You watch for the signs, and mm-hmm. then hopefully over the course of the weekend, they start to like tell you before they have to go, or you see it happening, and then you mm-hmm. rush them over to the potty.
Yeah, you say, mm-hmm. "Oh my goodness, do you need to go potty? You're mm-hmm. going potty on the floor. Let's go to the potty now." Okay. You know, and so mm-hmm. it's just like. The act of understanding when you are going to the like going pee mm-hmm. And then learning that when that is happening, you go to the potty. Mm-hmm.
And you know? Before this, mm-hmm. was there any sitting on the potty in advance of this or like
for sure?
Okay.
There was for us. But, you know, you if there's not for you, I believe that you can still do it without. Like for us, it was kind of like an exploratory, like, oh, let's try doing it on the potty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Like but this is fun.
If they're not interested and they're not they're like preferring to just, oh, hold on, I'm going to go in the closet and poop in my diaper. Like, mm-hmm. then, you know, then it might be a little trickier, but it's still, if you have no pants on and you know the diapers have been thrown in the trash.
Uh-huh. That part is so stressful to me. No more diapers.
I know.
No, more diapers. That's the thing. You have to really commit to it. You can't.
That's the thing, is you have to commit.
It takes, this is kind of this method where it's like in 3 days you establish a baseline, but it's going to take weeks. It's going to take months. You have to be kind of constantly watching them.
Yeah.
Over a period of time, putting a mental timer. Yeah, there may be accidents, but that doesn't mean, oh, you strap on a diaper. It means that you kind of just got to try again. Maybe a long car trip.
Yeah, like, we did use diapers
for a long car trip. And also, like, they're not ready to go through the night with.
So that's the big question.
So then you kind of make a diaper like, okay, this is your special nighttime diaper.
Yeah, so that's the big question is diapers at night versus not diapers at night. Mm-hmm. And this is where we strayed from the book method and went with what our doctor said.
Does the book method really say no diapers at night?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the book method actually just said, you know, go no diapers. It's that it was easier to just remove diapers altogether and go no diapers at night and just kind of deal with the accidents that happen at night, and that they would learn if they needed to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, that they would get up and tell you, or get up and go. But our doctor said, you know, was sort of like, they'll understand the difference between daytime and nighttime diapers. Like, you know, just so we have continued to use a pull-up at night, and it's working out great for us.
Mm-hmm. The doctor was saying that they're like physiologically they're not ready to wake themselves up to have to go to the bathroom or to hold their, you know, pee 12 hours.
Night. Yeah. Okay. And so we do pull-ups at night, and there was a period of time when Wes was potty trained during the day, but he would he was wearing a diaper for nighttime and naps. Mm-hmm. And in the mornings, he would wake up and he would go poop in his diaper. Mm-hmm. And we got so worried that, like, this was becoming a habit for him, and that he was learning to go poo in his diaper and not on the potty.
And you were like, the pull-ups at night are screwing us up.
Yeah, we were like, oh, what are we going to do? We talked to our doctor about it. She was like, that could become an issue. And we were like, oh, God, our doctor said it could become an issue. Oh, and then guess what? It's not. It's totally a non-issue. There was a period of a couple months when he was doing that. And then it just clicked. It clicked in his head. I think it just had to do with, like, probably just maturity and age.
And you're continuing to say things like, okay, well, we go, you know, poo-poo in the potty. So next time let us know if you have to go poo-poo and we can go into the potty. Or like if there's a morning where he doesn't happen to go poo-poo in his diaper.
Then we immediately take off the pull-up and knowing that he like regularly goes in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, tell us when you need to go poo-poo and we'll go on the potty. You know?
Let's go back to that, you know, this big event weekend of like you're doing right? So you're watching them like a hawk. We even would set like timers that can be helpful, because
timers can be super helpful.
Every kid's different. Our kid didn't always want to go potty when we said it's time to go potty. I imagine many kids are like that. But having a specific timer of like, when the timer goes off, we're gonna go try and make a pee pee. Right.
Yeah.
And just
catching
like,
them before it happens.
You don't have to go, but you do have to try. And then oftentimes they sit down and it works out great.
Yeah. So we would set a timer for like every hour. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't go or they didn't want to go, then maybe we would set a timer for 30 minutes and try again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but just like getting into the habit of just going to the potty. And oh, look, you did make a pee pee on the potty. That's great. Great job. This is another place where we strayed from the books, is we used incentives to like,
everyone uses like candy.
So
you could use
candy. A sticker chart. You can do candy, you know, good old fashioned operant conditioning, but like, however you choose.
I definitely read like, there was one part of a book that we read that said, you should absolutely not use incentives, you know, like children should have, intrinsic incentives that they did it themselves. Oh, aren't you proud of yourself? That sort of thing.
I mean,
yes, absolutely. But guess what? We did it anyway, and it worked great.
As an adult, I use incentives for myself. I'm like, oh, if I'm going to work this morning, I'm getting an iced coffee and a muffin on the way.
Right.
And maybe that's because I was operantly conditioned as a child to do things. But it works, guys. Right. It works.
We need to consider the iced coffee mechanic in our hiring overall benefits package. And but if you show up to work, you get a nice coffee.
No, it's just my internal motivation to be like, you know, June is just sitting there going, mommy, no leave. Mommy, no leave. And I'm like, okay, but I'm going to go get a nice coffee and get to work.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Mommy's going to leave. I mean, this is specific to just me, but others out there. What do I do if I feel like my kids are in two very different places in regards to potty training? What about two toddlers simultaneously who I'm watching like a hawk, reading different cues, and they have different abilities to verbally communicate?
That one's above my pay grade, Rachel.
I'll buy you an iced coffee, Ned.
Well, if you're buying me an iced coffee.
I think that part of the reason that preschool can be really good for kids of like a younger age is because they see other kids going potty. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that could work for June and Poppy too.
Yeah, I would just treat them both the same. And then if one is getting it better than the other, that might be a like,
you
like
know,
an example
seeing it, like seeing the other kid.
Maybe they'll feel bad about themselves and it'll take longer. I don't know. That's probably the fun of having twins.
I mean, I would definitely not do the like, well, your sister is doing
it.
Oh,
no, we don't compare sisters.
Of course not.
Also a thing with like, even like accidents. You don't want to say like, oh, that like, this is bad. Like you want to say like, you peed in your pants. That's not a choice that you can make. Next time, let us know when you have to go potty.
Yeah, exactly.
No shame.
Shaming
them.
That's
not an option.
And that's something
that's not an option. Also,
yeah.
Now you're wet.
Exactly.
Yeah. You don't like that.
We tried to make it very much about like the sort of discomfort of it. And you know, like you don't want to be like, this is bad, because you don't want anything that has to do with like your child's body or anything like that. You know, like it's a natural thing. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard not to say like, that's yucky or like that's gross, you know, because like, I feel like I was definitely raised with like, oh, poo poo is yucky.
Yeah.
But you know, with a young child, you don't want them to have that idea of like something that my body does is yucky.
Is really gross.
You know?
But also you don't want them to touch it.
And you don't want them to eat it.
One of the books was saying that like it's okay to say that, you know, you went in your pants, that's yucky. Because it is.
Yeah. I don't know.
We don't want you to play with it. It will not keep you healthy.
Right, right. But there's a difference between what we learned was to just like sort of say what is happening, you know, like, oh, you are going pee pee in your pants now. And that means that we're going to have to change your pants because now they are wet, you know, instead of being like, oh my God, you went in your pants again. Yeah. Like, ugh, you're
ding, dang it, boy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's
do
like,
not editorialize. Very neutral.
Very neutral. Okay.
Yeah.
Very
but
neutral.
Also while communicating that that's not. You know, the thing that they should be doing.
Right. Yeah. Like we don't do that.
And for the, you know, whatever your sticker chart or reward system is, I mean, they like get pretty invested in it. We said it was like you get one chocolate bunny for going pee pee and two chocolate bunnies for going poo poo. We started with M&Ms.
I think we started with M&Ms.
Yeah.
And then I realized.
Those were the highest value.
Well, exactly. But then I realized that like, we were going potty like 20 times a day. Mm-hmm. And for a kid that age, having that much sugar, God.
Yeah.
And we were talking about sugar and Wes is very, like, he gets really, really excited about sugar.
Yeah.
And then we did yogurt raisins. And I was getting these yogurt raisins that didn't have the like nutrition facts on them. And once I found out how much sugar those had, oh my goodness.
Raisins you think are crazy.
You hear yogurt and you think it's healthy.
They're
it's
not.
All marketing.
So I highly recommend those Annie's bunnies, the mm-hmm. like Graham, bunny Graham things, mm-hmm. because like per bunny, they actually don't have that much sugar in them.
What's the nutritional content per bunny?
Per bunny. It's actually quite low in sugar. I mean, not low in sugar compared to like, I don't know, a carrot, but like low in sugar compared to an M&M.
She says that because she knows the way my children eat.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Here they you go, honey. Here's a grape.
Here's a grape for going potty. You know what? June fucking loves grapes.
Hey.
She might be motivated.
Whatever works. Whatever works.
Start with the lowest and then work your way up. Like right now, Wes like demands 5 bunnies for like anything that he does.
One time we were so impressed that he took off his own pants. So we were like, wow, you get 1 for taking off your pants.
I was so excited one time that I just gave the kid a handful.
Yeah.
And now he's like, do I get 10 bunnies for doing this and this and this and this? And I'm like, okay, just wash your hands and I'll give you as many as you want. You know, like.
We also have noticed that when he wants privacy, sometimes it's because he's like, getting a little chocolate bunny on his own, climbing up on the stool.
Yeah, that was like a new thing.
That's hilarious.
Because Wes would, he would go poo, right? And uh-huh. he would take off his own pants, take off his own diaper, sit on the potty, go potty. And then he would dump the poop out into the potty. And then he would go and he would wash his own hands.
Wow.
And then he would come out and he would be like, I did everything. But he would have a mouthful of bunnies. And I'm like, you got your own bunnies too.
Honestly, I'm on board. It's like self-regulating.
Did not wipe himself. So he's still walking around with poo on his butt.
We could put baby wipes next to the toilet and have him start.
We can have him start wiping. Yeah.
On TikTok last night, I saw a teacher with a classroom full of preschool children and they were all sitting in these tiny chairs and there were 2 balloons taped to the back and the kids were learning to reach around and wipe their bottom.
So they would wipe between the balloons.
Yes, demoing.
I have seen this.
Wow.
I think it's brilliant. I think it's time to start start teaching them to wipe.
The other thing is you aren't allowed to go to preschool until you've potty trained.
That was it, actually.
Oh,
it wasn't.
Not true at my preschool.
Really? Oh, that's so
well,
nice.
Not in the 2's room.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
they have to be trained by 3.
Yeah, we were looking at several different preschools and most of them had a policy that like they needed to be out of diapers by the time that they got there. And the one that we eventually chose said that they, you know, like, especially if you came with like a 2.5-year-old, mm-hmm. that they would work with you.
Yeah. Mine
potty
said, there was a thing like a log line under the potty training section. It was like, they may not be trained when they start in the 2's room, but they will be. And I was like, oh, damn.
Oh, they're hammering it down. Here it comes.
Okay.
After that, you know, you just keep monitoring, keep setting timers. You can start to introduce underwear.
A year later,
once they get it.
Are you still vigilant?
I mean, but like in the same way that I'm vigilant on my own bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if it's been 2 hours, I have to go potty.
Then we say, do you have to go potty?
Then I'll be like, hey, Wes, come with me. We're going potty together. And he'll be like, no. And then I'll be like, I'm walking away. Are you coming? And he'll be like, yes.
Yeah. we're vigilant, not in like watching him like a hawk that he's that thinking that he's going to go in
like
his
have
pants.
An accident. No,
yeah, like have an
more
accident.
It's like a mental timer where you just.
You're like, you haven't gone potty in a while.
Hours,
let's go do that. You know, and he will tell us too. Like if we, if he like really has to go, he'll be like, I have to go potty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, you know, the clock might be more like 30, 45 minutes, mm-hmm. maybe even every 15 minutes if you're doing that chugging water and mm-hmm. really trying to get ahead of it thing. But like in the first week, maybe you're just, I mean, every 45 minutes is hard to remember. So that's why I set a timer, mm-hmm. but it's
a
more
timer
about
sounds good. Yeah.
Kind of being proactive and asking them because mm-hmm. they may not get it like that easy to ask you or tell you that they have to go right away.
For example, Poppy doesn't have the language for that to start right now.
But, she could do sign language.
Yeah, you can teach sign language, or you can just teach a single word.
Mm-hmm. But we actually started
dissertation over here.
We started right at 2 years, not because 2 years was the time that we thought was the best time, but because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Oh, because we were home anyway. Home.
I need a project.
Well, it was I honestly was like, this is the best time to do this. This is the best time. We're all home.
72 hours.
He's naked half the time anyway. Let's just start using the potty.
You really can't do other stuff.
You can't even
start doing the dishes and look away from it. It's like you kind of have to have a weekend where you're like pretty dialed into them, because otherwise there's gonna be a mistake.
There's gonna be an accident.
That's fine and all, but like it's better.
But now faster. A year in, I would say that we are fully potty trained. I would say that we were fully potty trained like 2 months in, but we are still like we had to be very vigilant at that time, because our specific experience was that Wes wouldn't really tell us that often that he had to go, and we would kind of be in a situation where we had to kind of watch him and be like, I can tell that you have to go potty, so let's go do this right now. Yeah. You know, like you can sort of like understand their cues. But now it's absolutely the sort of thing where the vigilance is more like every few hours. It's like, oh, you haven't gone potty for a while. Let's
peeing
go do that
before we're going somewhere.
Before we leave the house or before. So, you know, we kind of have like a routine almost where we go potty after we take off our diaper in the morning. We go potty before we leave for the park. Then we go potty when we get home and we wash our hands. And then, sort of thing.
Yeah. So you can do it. You can totally do it. You just have to do it.
Yeah.
And commit to it. And like.
Yeah. And I will say, as easy as diapers are, it is so much easier not to have to deal with diapers.
Mm-hmm.
Like now that Wes, like he is not having accidents really. And like he's telling us when he has to go to the bathroom, or he'll just go to the bathroom himself. Like that was a big thing a couple of months ago, that he'll just take himself to the bathroom and go potty. It's huge.
Changing a diaper is about as easy as changing an accident. And that an accident only happens every once in a while. And so on the whole, you're going to be better off.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also,
but it's a journey. It didn't take 3 days for us. It took a year.
Yeah.
It took a year.
Yeah.
Of like,
but I think it's accurate to say 3 days, because in those 3 days, you kind of give yourself the groundwork.
Yeah. They
and
like,
and you don't
get
have
the idea of it.
You don't need to revert to diapers.
Mm-hmm. You never went back to diapers
after those three days. Real bad. Okay. I mean, okay, good, bad. That would be counterproductive towards your goals of potty training.
Uh huh.
Yeah, AKA bad.
AKA.
Right.
There was a time when we would do it for long car trips too. Now we'll do like, your standard, like, we're going to stop and go potty at a gas station together.
Yeah. Oh, do you bring the tiny potty in the car?
We did for a while, but now...
Not anymore.
We don't. Okay. We do what's called the Aunt Grace way, which is standing on the toilet seat itself and, you know, peeing down. And my
it works great,
standing
actually.
On the toilet seat?
Yeah. Well, he's a boy.
Holding hands.
He's a boy.
Yeah, so. Holding hands.
Okay.
So that, yeah. So
well, kind of hold his sides, I guess.
So that he can just pee into the toilet.
As a dad,
you have to scoop and hold.
Yeah, you probably have to just sit them on the edge.
And holding their hands, probably.
Probably sit them on the edge, yeah. Just bring a potty seat, the little one with a handle. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first time I saw my boy pee in a urinal, it was a big deal.
Just your heart just
I was
grew
like, I'm
five
so proud.
Sizes.
Yeah. He's so tall.
Also, please don't grab the sides like that. Yeah, that's kind of nasty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, car trips with like a potty trained child. Yeah.
So
those bathrooms are not made for children.
No.
There are
no.
too many surfaces that are very dirty.
But yeah, I mean, it's exciting. Totally, you can
you
do it.
You guys sound more excited about it than I do. I'm still like, oh,
I know.
You
but
just wrap
but,
your head
but we're
around
on the
it.
Other side of it too.
Yeah.
You
know, like in the middle of it, I was like, oh, why?
Yeah,
again.
You're still thinking that diapers are easier, right? But once you shift your perspective to say, this is a good thing for the kid. Mm-hmm. It's going to be easier for me the sooner I do it. And it's going to be better once it's done. Then you'll be excited about it.
Imagine not having to bring massive packs of diapers when you're traveling. Like for Wes, I think for our, for our 6-day trip or whatever, mm-hmm. we brought 10 diapers.
Right.
You know, right. It's like, you just don't need them.
You don't need them. Okay.
Saves money.
And
oh, it does save money.
Saves you landfill.
Do need to always carry a second pair of clothes, though.
Okay.
Don't want to get into what was our previous time of having an accident and then needing to go and buy
clothes, buy an outfit or somewhere.
The boutique next to the restaurant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because yeah, you never. That's one of the like hard things is that you
accidents can always happen.
Accidents will happen. Yeah,
hopefully not poop accidents.
And it's not even that like that they
you never know.
That they. Haven't grasped the concept, like, because they will grasp the concept mm-hmm. pretty immediately. It's that they'll start peeing mm-hmm. and then realize, but even
well,
a little bit of pee
by their lives.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They're playing or something like that, but even a little bit of pee will like wet their pants. Then. And so that's why like training undies or something like that, mm-hmm. which we have, but we didn't use because we found that like, just actually not even wearing underwear and just putting on his pants. Mm-hmm. And then if he starts to have an accident, then he'll realize even quicker.
And you can see it a little easier.
Yeah. But like the training pants were a little bit too close to diapers for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was something that we...
Started to be like, oh, it's cool. I can pee in these.
Yeah, exactly. That was something that we read
like,
was that like...
No.
That training pants are... They're a crutch.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
And also trying to avoid screen time during this intense training period because they kind of zone out and then they like will just pee and not even think about it.
Yeah.
Well, luckily we do no screen time in my house.
Right.
But we recently visited my parents and they had the TV on occasionally. And I'll just tell you that the only screen time the girls have ever had was watching Cheech and Chong at my parents' house.
I love that.
But yeah. Okay. Yeah. I even had a kindergartner once just look up from playing and go, Miss Cole, I'm peeing. I think she just forgot.
Yeah.
She got distracted. All right. We have one more question. One more.
Yes.
Right?
Go on.
I want to talk about beds. Big kid bed. When do I switch? When do I convert those cribs to toddler beds? Yeah.
Basically when they climb out.
Yeah. Okay. When they're climbing out. I would wait. We switched ours a little too early the first night. Middle of the night, I woke up to a screaming Wes on the floor being like, what happened to me? Why am I outside of my bed? And then we switched it back and did it again 2 months later and it was totally fine. He was very excited. I think you can do things where it's like you make an event out of it and make it like his, you know. Mm-hmm, for us, it was part of the reason we're doing it was because we were expecting another child, but not on this weekend. This was you are getting a new big boy bedroom.
Exactly. We needed the crib for the other kid.
Yeah.
And so we needed him to go get in his new bed.
And he was totally thrilled. He was like, oh my gosh, this is my new bed. And look, there's a little door I can get in and out of.
Uh-huh.
You know, like a little, it has rails.
And by big boy
rails.
Bed, it's actually just, it's a like a small crib. It's like a low, it has like low railings.
Yeah.
But, that he can climb out of.
Like 6-inch railings. Okay. Yeah. Not too
so
big.
Just wait till they climb out.
Yeah.
No. Wait till they are almost able to climb out.
Almost
the
able
big,
to climb
like,
out.
Like danger is that they are able to climb out and then will like fall 5 feet.
That's
so
true.
So you it's like, don't wait till they climb out.
Okay.
Wait till you see they have the physical, you know, skills and mental
inclination.
Once you see them on the monitor, one leg up on the thing,
which you've seen. I know you've seen it.
June can get her leg up there. Poppy doesn't even think about it. But, you know, like I said, they're shrimps. So she's not quite there yet. But we did give them big stuffed animals and she once stacked them. I know.
Oh, wow.
Okay, in between, you can get like these kind of long pillows. Mm-hmm. Almost like a big Dock-a-Tot type of thing.
Yeah.
To lay on the ground?
No. To lay across the door, like whatever the little boundary is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's actually what we did is we put bumpers, like big pillows, like almost like bolster pillows.
Yeah, so then they won't accidentally roll out at night.
Roll out. Okay. Well, I'll keep you updated.
Mm, all right.
How exciting.
On when I feel brave enough for potty training myself.
You can do it. I know
I
you
hope
can.
The answer is after this conversation.
Yes.
But maybe you need to do a little, you know, kind of grounding yourself and thinking.
I need to ground myself.
I'll share this book with you because it was a quick read and pretty helpful. Even
which one's
if
that?
A bit extra.
A bit extra.
I think potty training 3 days is good because it's the fastest read.
It is. It's
even though it's
read.
The most kind of like you intense. May not want to do every single thing they say.
Pick and choose what you want to use.
Okay. All right. Time to go shopping for little kid underwear.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I recommend Trucks, but I don't think that. Yeah, Wes was really excited about Truck underwear.
And like the next thing you know, they'll be in the.
College?
In their first apartment in college, like making Easy Mac for themselves. And hey, if you're 22 and making Easy Mac for yourself and you want to get some new recipes, check out the Date Night Cookbook at datenightcookbook.com. You can pre-order it today.
If you make yourself dinner, you can have 10 chocolate bunnies.
That's
after.
Right.
You can have as many chocolate coffee. Bunnies as
if you pre-order
want.
Our cookbook, we will send you an iced coffee.
And chocolate bunnies.
Purchase required. And also we won't send it to you. But you'll know that
it's from us.
You're taking a piece of our creativity and our relationship home to your kitchen. And also mash the subscribe button, rate us 5 stars, and we'll see you next time.
Life's a journey.
Take baby steps.